720 WGN, it's Your Money Matters, and here are the numbers that matter. The market's down slightly today, but so were gas prices, continuing a very welcome trend. Nationally down to $4.21 a gallon. In Illinois, we're down a bit as well to $4.63. Cook County, the last county where it's still over $5 a gallon for now. $3.89 to fill up in Wisconsin. New report shows manufacturing production has fallen as demand conditions weaken. Labor and material shortage still persisting. Average 30-year mortgage rate around 5.4%. Construction spending tumbling in June. Single housing home building declining sharply. And almost half of our nation's food banks are reporting an increase in the number of people who have been visiting the pantries as inflation has put groceries out of reach for those with limited incomes. And those are the numbers that matter here on Your Money Matters on this Monday, August the 1st, 2020. We're going to jump right in with our first guest, Judith Crown of Crane Chicago Business, to talk about recession in Chicago. Are we in one? Are we not in one? Can be a national debate, but there's no doubt, Judith, that a lot of Chicago businesses are certainly preparing for what they feel might be an inevitable recession around the corner.
Yes, I think they're feeling resigned to the possibility when they look at the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. And they just see it putting the brakes on and say, well, I think we're going to have some kind of slowdown. We just don't know the severity yet. But the good news is that the labor market is so strong.
Is it almost like a cushion, like a little buffer, that we at least have that if there is a recession that, you know, a lot of people have been well employed for a while?
Exactly. We had a few businesses say, look, I hope not to lay off, and maybe I'll even get to fill some positions that I've been unable to do if other companies lay off. So that could definitely mitigate the situation.
Are Chicago businesses you talk to, when they see these national yellow bright lights flashing, these warning signals, is this giving them a little time to perhaps prepare to save a little cash? Like you say, maybe not lay off people, but just kind of put some capital expenditures off to the side, as opposed to when a recession like the housing crisis of 2007, 2008 plunged us quickly into one,
right,
that this one can provide businesses some time to prepare?
Definitely. We had some manufacturers say, and they say their demand is still pretty good, at least in the sectors that they're supplying. But yes, they were going to hold off on capital expenditures unless it was something like an emergency, and they could build some cash, and they really don't want to lay off workers because they've had such a hard time hiring during this tight labor market. They certainly don't want to be in a position where they have to go through that all over again. So hard to train, you know, find workers and then train them, and they don't want to go through that again.
Are there any sectors where businesses are already kind of treating it like it is where they are in a recession? They are already laying people off.
Yes, we definitely had some sort of leading edge businesses. So we had the tech sector already doing some layoffs, and you know, the stock market just really beat up the tech stocks. So they're pulling in. And, you know, I think venture capital and funders are saying, whoa, you know, you better slow the brakes and let's conserve your cash. It's not going to be that easy to raise cash right now. And, of course, the other obvious one is housing, because it's so dependent on the mortgage rates. And as you just reported, the mortgage rates up well over 5%. That's a real shock from what they were a year ago.
They're obviously preparing or already have started taking measures. When you compare Chicago to other big metropolitan areas, how more prepared, how more cushioned are we or not compared to other places?
Right, right. Well, the interesting thing is we are a bit behind because we have fewer workers now compared to the start of the pandemic. And the reason that's important is that when the economy gets going again, we're sort of behind the eight ball. So, you know, areas like the West and the South have had stronger labor markets. There's been a more of an exodus from the Midwest and the Northeast to those markets. We could be behind when things perk up again.
Oh, so it's not only the hiring, but it's just the number of people in the area.
Right, right. I mean, we've had the reason our labor force is down, it's not just because of there were layoffs during the pandemic, but but also people just remember the Great Resignation. People quit their jobs, or they quit the workforce altogether, or they moved out of state. So there's just been this contraction in the workforce, not only due to layoffs. So that could be a problem down the road.
Leisure and hospitality, are we anywhere back to where we are? I imagine that those industries are just shaking their head at the prospect of a recession only because it's going to, boy, they haven't even gotten back to square one.
Right. I think of all the sectors we looked at, they're the hardest hit because, leisure travel has come back, but business travel certainly hasn't. And on top of that, you have, the loop is still not full. And all of the office workers who are going to restaurants and bars and planning meetings and hotels, that's really way down.
For sure. Hey, Judith Crown, we're just scratching the surface. People can read the rest of Crane Chicago Business. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks so much for having me.
I always appreciate that. Okay, we're going to talk about dating and inflation and some other things, too, from the great folks at The Balance. But first, a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld. Well, if you're one of those swinging adults who are dating, inflation may be hurting you. Kristen Myers here from The Balance. And it looks like the data bears that out, Kristen Myers.
Yeah, they say my love don't cost a thing, and that is a lie. I can't remember who sang the song. I think it was J-Lo, but she was lying to us. Because thanks to inflation, it apparently costs many things, more things than last year. And a lot of daters are choosing to respond in kind most of them are saying they're going to go out on less dates.
How many less dates? And first of all, when you survey all these people, how much of America is actually dating right now? I'm always kind of curious about that because I know a lot of people, they go, it's all younger people, but I know people that are maybe looking for that second husband or second wife that are listening now that are entering the dating scene again. So it's a lot of people.
Yeah, about 25% actually of the folks that we surveyed said that they were dating. And almost all of them, and this is very rare that you have almost a unanimous sentiment on a survey, but 90% of them actually said that their love life essentially was impacted by inflation. And so they're trying to come up with a lot of different ways to save a little bit of money. The most popular response was to go on fewer dates, 44%. actually said they're going to go on less dates because it's just getting too expensive.
Honestly, I think that's a good call. And not only that you shouldn't go on, you can go on as many dates with you want, as many people as you want, but if there's the pressure of limiting it, like, hey, we're going to get 3 dates to figure out whether we're a match or not, I feel like that puts some good added pressure on each date.
I don't know. That makes every date a very high stakes now.
Yes.
If you're going to
pack it in, baby. Come on, let's
make
do
a
it.
Decision. But you know what? People are actually getting creative. You know what the next most popular idea was actually to go out on free activities. 40% of people said that they were going to do that. And then over a third said they were actually going to try to just spend less on dates, while another third said, hey, we're going to date virtually, which is really going back in time to just about 2 years ago. Remember when everyone wanted to find love and they had to do it on Zoom or on Skype because of the pandemic? Well, a lot of folks are reverting back to it because Zoom is free and Skype is free. So people are doing those free dates virtually.
It is interesting because this, dating and money shouldn't necessarily be correlated, but there's already confusion about who pays and what should I order when I'm on the date if I'm not the one paying. There is already kind of a murkiness to the dating and paying situation. I imagine that this just kind of heightens that tension.
So we actually did a survey last year back in around October to kind of touch on some of these, murky issues. And we actually found that the more you pay, and I'm sure there's some folks that are listening that are not surprised by this, but the more you pay on the date, the more likely you are to get a second date. So that's not necessarily great for some of the daters out there that are trying to just spend less and less right now. But it is true. I think a lot of people associate money with love, which of course is not true. But I still think that there is a place to talk about money when it comes to love.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and you mentioned doing like free things. I think a lot of times you find that the free things allow you a little bit more time to actually learn something from from the person you're going on the date with. A nice long walk. We got a free zoo just up the road here from where I'm sitting. Like, there are things that you can do that focus on the other person instead of trying to focus on how much you can spend on them.
Yeah, so if there's anyone listening, I'm going to put on my matchmaking hat for a second. I actually I actually think that sometimes those free dates, if you plan them well, actually can show your potential partner that you're very thoughtful. And I think that it can actually go a long way. And so if anyone's listening and wants ideas for free dates, picnics are a great idea. You can go maybe get some sandwiches, meet up in the park and have a picnic and talk, or museums in most cities, I believe Chicago has them as well, offers free nights at the museum or days where you can actually enter for free or pay as much as you want. And so those are great opportunities to essentially take someone out without spending too much cash.
When I think of my first few dates with my husband, I've got coffee. So what, that's $3 or $4, although that's gone up a little bit. Tennis, playing tennis, the first and last time we ever played tennis, and going to the zoo for free on a free day. So there you go. And it worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah, I don't. I've talked to some of my friends about this. They don't love the physical activity dates. So okay. Do that at your own risk.
Yeah.
Do that one at your own risk. But no, I think to your point, there's a lot of ways that you can get to know someone that doesn't exactly cost shelling out a couple $100. Dinner and a movie is not the only way to find love and to essentially get to know someone else. And at a time when people are spending more and more just to go out to eat, costs are getting really, really high, especially on things like groceries, this might be the time that you need to pull back a little. And I should say that there's a lot of confusion right now about whether we are in a recession or not. It is clear that economic growth is slowing down. A lot of people are afraid potentially of losing their jobs. This is not necessarily the time to go spend, you know, $500 on steak dinners for you and the love interest
yeah.
that you have.
And, you know, this is serious money because you were in that survey you did in December about how much people actually do spend on dates. I mean, you're talking about $70 on first dates for millennials. If you're going on a couple a week and people willing to spend a lot more, I mean, these costs can add up. They could actually be a significant part of a millennial's or a Gen Z'er's budget or anyone else that could be discretionary money that could go to saving. And you know how much we love saving, and especially at that young age. I mean, these actually are important financial decisions that people need to think through.
Yeah, and if you are someone who is out there dating, if you don't make dating or, you know, a part of a budget, you really need to. Because mm-hmm. as you're mentioning, we did find that folks were spending an average of $70 just about on every single date. And so we also found out that they're dating multiple times a month, sometimes even a week, especially if they're on dating apps. A lot of them are also paying for dating apps, a lot of folks. So that's money, $15 a month. And the more dating apps you are on, of course, you're widening the net. So it's probably more likely that you're finding more people that you might want to go on a date with. And so, I mean, just five dates a month is a couple $100 that if you haven't budgeted could really start to set you back. And as you mentioned, that could be money that is put into your savings
yeah.
account. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go out on dates,
yeah,
or that you shouldn't spend money to go on dating, but I think you just need to think about it in terms of your greater personal finance picture.
I'm resisting the urge to plug $350 a month for every month for, let's say, 2 years into a calculator of compounding interest, because I really don't want to discourage people from finding love, because that's worth it. But I am just like, oh my gosh, that's tens of thousands of dollars in 40 years. Anyways, we won't do that today. Krista Myers, it's always great to chat with you. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Always great talking to you, John.
All right. We're going to take a break. Then the news, we will cover the president's address as well here on WGN. We were talking earlier before the president about inflation and dating, and I talked about how I didn't want to plug in to my calculator that I have handy that if I'm in my young 20s and I spend $250 a month on dating, whether that's the apps and then you take someone out a couple times, $250 a month may sound like a lot, but I think that's, you know, kind of standard, right, for how much you might spend on dating. I plugged that into a calculator. And let's say you did that for 3 years, right? That's how long it takes you to find someone, maybe. That's about $10,000 worth of spending on a date. If you had instead put that money, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's not important to find love, but if you took that $10,000 instead and put it into just a average investing thing and let that sit for 40 years, just that date money from age 22 to 25, and you let that sit until retirement, you'd have an extra $209,000.
And you'd be retiring alone.
Yeah. That's true, Mary. I'm not trying to, I guess what I'm saying is every dollar matters when you're that age. And,
you know, that's just a good fact for, especially if you don't like someone that your kid is dating, use this fact to help get them away from that, potentially. No, but you're right. Finding someone's important. And then, you know, together, you can make a lot of money together. There's a lot of benefits to being together. I'm not trying to, and love, that's important too. But, yeah, $208,000. Again, take out the word dating and put in whatever you want. Whatever you're spending on money at the age of 22 years old, every single dollar matters so much because of what you can do with the power of time. But we talk about that plenty on this show. 708 says, John, instead of dating, now you're married a person and it can cost you a lot more than $250 a month. That is true. So, yeah, I should look inward as well. Okay, that's that. We're going to talk actually about talking about saving money. And so many people are trying to battle right now hearing loss issues. We're going to chat about that in a little bit. First, let's get a look at traffic and weather with Mary Vandeveld. When I think of big life expenses sometimes and things you have to deal with and what goes into those costs, I feel like hearing aids, just off the bat, I think, boy, in order to be able to hear properly, I'm going to need to fork over a bunch of money. And that isn't always the case. In fact, it isn't with Lexi Hearing. Heather Battison joins us now. She's the Chief Marketing Officer at Lexi Hearing. Heather, thanks for coming on the program. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, John. It's great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about what Lexi Hearing is and what it is that you offer your customers, because I know you got some new exciting stuff going on, but just give us a baseline of what Lexi Hearing is all about.
Sure. Lexi Hearing is a direct-to-consumer hearing aid provider. What that means is we offer people with mild to moderate hearing loss an opportunity to purchase quality hearing aids directly from us online.
What's the advantage of doing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, really what it comes down to is convenience and cost. I mean, for many people, the price of hearing aids is around $5,000,
yeah,
which is just simply too much.
That's what, if you were to tell me like off the bat, I'm like, what would it cost to be like $5,000? And apparently not so much.
Yeah, exactly. And as a result, because of that cost, many folks just don't get the healthcare that they need. So then they become disconnected from families, communities, et cetera. And that can lead to a lot of different consequences, loneliness, depression, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point because, you know, you think of if someone hasn't lost their hearing and they're listening, they're like, all right, well, you have to strain a little bit to hear others. What's the big deal? No, there's the hearing really connects us to others in such a way. Being part of a conversation is such an important part of who we are. And if you lose one end of that or you struggle on one end of that, I mean, that has real ramifications.
Yes, exactly. So what Lexi Hearing offers these people is access to reliable and quality hearing aids at a fourth of that price.
A fourth?
We have hearing aids that are available for as little as $7.99.
Okay, but I mean, that sounds great, right? It sounds great, no pun intended. But like sometimes when people see a difference in the price tag because they've been so wired to think, oh, it's going to cost so much, when they see that, well, that $800, that $7.99, that quarter of the price, they immediately think, oh, I must be sacrificing something. Is that the case?
No. I'm so happy to say no. The hearing aids that we sell at Lexi offer all the features that wearers would expect to have, but they still have all of the important qualities and functionality as you would expect from some of the more pricier options. And just this week, we announced an exciting new partnership with Bose. We launched the Lexi B1 hearing aids powered by Bose.
Wow. I mean, that's a name that people know and trust, and there's nothing that says sound quality more than Bose, right? When you think about that name and you think about the speakers that they provide, that's something. What does that partnership mean?
Yeah. Well, now we offer our customers the power of sound that they've come to expect from Bose, just as you indicated, with Bose's self-fitting hearing aid technology, paired with the customer service that the Lexi Hearing team delivers and is known for. So the new Lexi B1 hearing aids allow wearers to fit, program, and control their hearing aids with its clinically proven audiologist quality results without a doctor visit, hearing test, or prescription. And that's the key right there.
Without having to do any of that.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, anything you can do to avoid. Hey, we're all about avoiding the doctor when we can. Maybe a little bit too much in certain areas, but one less stop or one less thing to add on is certainly there. What's the Lexi B1? What's the price of those?
Sure. Well, we have two payment options for the customers. They can either make a one-time payment of $899 or we give them the option to subscribe for a 24-month period. If they do that, if they have the subscription, they pay under $50 a month, and they receive a lot of different factors such as accessories and battery bundles, et cetera. And then lastly, there is a payment option, too, where wearers can choose to use their HSA or FSA dollars to pay, too.
That's smart, because I know a lot of people have HSA accounts, and maybe they've actually, like, at the end of the year, they're, like, scrambling to, or an FSA, and they're scrambling to pay it because you lose it or use it or lose it. Or they have an HSA, yep, and they're like, well, I'll buy more soap with this at Walgreens because thankfully everything else is okay. That's good. And for under $50 a month, I mean, you're talking about a dollar. My math is not good, even though I host a money show. What, like a dollar something a day? I mean, to be able to hear well, I mean, I can't think of a better way to spend a dollar, right? And to be able to get that one-on-one care in terms of the customer care, I mean, that's huge.
Exactly, exactly. Our team of Lexi experts is one of the things we're most proud of at Lexi Hearing, too. Customers are able to call the team 6 days a week and receive one-on-one care is when they need it. So the experts even proactively connect with new customers once they've received their hearing aids, help onboard them, talk them through any questions, et cetera. So even though you buy it directly, you're not on your own. You have these resources for you.
And that's all included in that cost?
Exactly, yes. Yeah,
that's huge. It's like the peace of mind knowing that not only do I have this product, but I'm not out on an island by myself now. Like, good luck. Mm-hmm. It's someone that can help you through that, and that helps you sleep better at night. If there's any listeners out there that are still saying, like, I've always been told, if it sounds too good to be true, what do you say to them?
I would really tell them they have nothing to lose. I mean, at Lexi, we offer a 45-day trial, so even if they're not 100% satisfied with their purchase, they can return everything they received and get a full refund. So, and even if they've subscribed for the 24-month period, they can cancel at any time. There's no contract tying them in. So really, there's nothing to lose.
And you can wear them. Like, it's, you can wear them, test them, and for those 45 days, it's not like once you put it in your ear twice, it's done. The deal's over.
Yes, they can. I mean, we do encourage all of our customers to try the hearing aid for the full 45-day period because it does take some time. It's an adjustment, right? But we give them the refund if they're not satisfied. It's important to us that our customers do find the right hearing solution that works for them, right? But with over 500 Google reviews and a 4.7-star rating, I think we can confidently say that our customers appreciate and love wearing their Lexi hearing aids.
Yeah, and I just want to say, because maybe some of our listeners, they don't use Google reviews maybe all that much, or people that are looking for this. That's an incredible number of reviews to have a 4.7-star rating. I mean, that's a lot. Trust me, that's a number you can trust in the Google algorithm, and that's great stuff. Heather, I appreciate you joining me today. I enjoyed learning a little bit more about this. And again, to our listeners, if you'd like to speak to a Lexi expert about hearing aids, you just call 901-403-8842, 901-403-8842, or visit LexiHearing.com. Heather, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's take a break, and we'll wrap things up next on Your Money Matters. I've got a couple minutes left here before news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And on Your Money Matters, I got a little pushback about telling people not to date in their early 20s. I wasn't telling people not to date. I was just putting a number on how much you could save if you saved a little money on dating. But I did have someone ask me. They said they're trying to convince their son to stop smoking. He started smoking when he was 20. He's 30 now. He's been smoking for 10 years. Yeah, none of the health arguments seem to work. Would a financial argument work? How much money, if he had spent that money instead of cigarettes into an investment plan, would he have when he retired? And what I'm about to do is shock you, because I asked back about how much smoking, and it was a one pack a day. And I asked where they lived, and it was about $11 a pack. And I put that into a calculator. Over 10 years... if you had invested that money instead, just those 10 years while you were smoking, it comes out to $64,700. And then you plug that number into an investment span. So you don't put any more money in. You just put that $64,000 in, and you let that sit for 35 years, right? So you're 30, you work till you're 65. That number comes out to $890,000. If that person had chosen to put every of those dollars in cigarette smoking into an IRA. And I'm not trying to disparage people that have done that. I know it's an addictive thing, and everyone has different vices, right? Someone could say, I spend too much on golf. Why didn't I spend that on that? We could all make different choices about where we spend our money. But sometimes money can be an argument that wins people over. So just think about that. Smoking in your 20s, a pack a day, could cost you $890,000 when you retire if you just had invested that money instead.